The reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 18. And this can be found on page 970 in the Pew Bibles. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgotten our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they receive their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. We're looking at teaching series in the Sermon on the Mount. And as we've been journeying through, we've been picking up some of the teaching of Jesus. It's important to remember where our journey started, though. And it started in Matthew 4, when after Jesus' temptation, he begins to preach. And his big message is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And that's actually quite important, because for those who hear that and respond to it, they change direction from going one way to going another. They turn their back on their previous life and move forward on a journey with Jesus. And we read that many people did that after repentance. Many were baptized. And actually, in that baptism, they received a new life in Christ. They hadn't got there in their minds yet, but that's what had happened. So Jesus began to teach his disciples what it meant to be a new creation, how leaving the old behind and following Christ, how that worked out in their lives. And he started by saying, well, actually, you're blessed. You are blessed. And the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. And in chapter 5, much of chapter 5, in fact, all of chapter 5, deals with the character of the Christian, the inward change that following Christ has brought about and obeying his teachings brings about in people's hearts and in their minds. And chapter 5 is about an inner change chapter 6 is about Christian practice, and that's what the reading was about today. So we're going to explore that. And Jesus says three things. He begins by illustrating his Christian practice with three things. He says, so when you give to the needy, when you pray, when you fast. I'm slightly hampered, by the way, because this monitor should have come on, but it seems to have died. So sorry about that. If I'm looking up there. There's actually an expectation in Jesus' words there, isn't there? It's not if you fast, it's so when you fast, when you give, when you pray. Jesus expects that of his disciples, of those who've chosen to follow him. And it's almost a command, if not a command, at least a strong bidding, that that's what his followers will do. And it makes sense, really, because in this new creation that's happened within us, we've become God's handiwork. And God's actually got good things for us to do. He's actually prepared good things for each one of us. So if God's prepared good things for us to do, how should we express those? How does that work out? What does that look like? Well, and here's the problem. Our character, what's inside of us, often is revealed by our actions. Our character, what's inside, is often revealed by our actions. And Jesus, to illustrate that, Jesus gives us three little cameos, which would have meant a lot to the people who are listening. One's about a man giving alms, giving to the needy. The other's about prayer, and the other's about fasting. So let's have a look. And the first thing that Jesus says is, don't be like this. So when you give, don't announce it with trumpets, which sounds pretty obvious, really, doesn't it? But actually, that was the practice at the time, particularly amongst the Pharisees. They were heralded as they came to present their alms to the needy. There was a big fanfare about it, and you can almost imagine the trumpet and the Pharisee deigning to give to the poor, to the needy. And actually, if you look at that picture, if you think about it, what's happened there is that the intent that God has, that we take care of the needy, has actually been eclipsed by the person giving. The focus moves from the need to the person providing the need. It's actually all about the giver. We're not entirely immune to that ourselves, are we? So we still have an expression about blowing our own trumpet. I think that kind of sells up, don't we, in the eyes of other people. This was no offense meant here at all, but it kind of illustrates the point a bit. It's a memorial plaque in a church. And the first thing it says, erected by Jane Lanthorpe Stanford. So this is Jane, who's given the money to build this church. And the kind of next thing that strikes your eye is that actually it's in memory of her husband, but that's like secondary, it's about Jane giving. And it's just in the small print, to the glory of God. And so sometimes we can get it all wrong, can't we? That in giving, we're fulfilling God's command, but we make it as if it's all about us and our generosity. And it can work out that like that in prayer, too. The other practice that the Pharisees had was to stand on a street corner. And they'd raise their hands in the air, and they would pray. And they would pray, and they would pray. Unless they were praying, of course, they'd be keeping an eye open to see that everyone was looking. The intent of prayer, the relationship with God that prayer is intended to stimulate and nurture, and that we can feed from, is put in the shadow. And again, it's all about me. Aren't I holy? And the third practice that Jesus says, don't do it like this, is fasting. And apparently, if a Pharisee or a religious person was intent on this course of action, this spiritual discipline, they would apply makeup to their faces. This is true, apparently. And so they'd grey up their faces, so they'd look, oh, like death. And so they'd stand there looking hungry and sick, so that people would see what a sacrifice they were making, how they were putting aside themselves for some other purpose. And of course, what they're really thinking is, when's lunch? The act of fasting is to discipline us, is to give us self-control, to put our body in place. And here we have the Pharisees again, negating that practice. And Jesus condemns it. He says, don't copy that. Don't do it like that. It's just an act. Don't be like the hypocrites, he says. And he draws on another image that would be familiar with them, because Palestine at this time is Hellenized. There's a lot of Greek cultures there, and a lot of Roman culture. And of course, the big thing there was the plays. And in the plays, some of the players wore masks. And the idea of the mask was that you could play a part. You could play a part and seem to be playing a part. But your character, your real character, remained unchanged. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. Look, these people, they're playing a part. They're hiding what's inside. And the problem about that sort of spiritual discipline of giving or prayer or fasting, if it's done from the wrong heart and with the wrong mindset, it actually negates the purpose of the exercise. It vitiates the act. The deeds which were intended to be good are made imperfect. They're actually corrupted. And they have no legal effect. Because the attitude of the person doing it is wrong. Their heart and their mind is wrong. Do you remember our first picture? First picture? How repentance was about turning and starting anew. And it seems that the Pharisees hadn't made that step. They were still trying to obey God, but they hadn't left behind the old, and they hadn't taken on the new that Jesus offered. So, and Jesus is quite condemning of them, or judging of them. And he says, look, if you pray like that, if you fast like that, if you give like that, so that you're doing it to be seen by others, then actually, you've had your reward. Your motive was to be seen. You've been seen. You have your reward. And the interesting thing about that, actually, you've received your reward in full. And the interesting thing about that little expression, reward in full, is it comes from a Greek word. Here we go. Apeshios. And that means a receipted bill. If we get a receipt on the bill, we know that we've fully paid it. And there's nothing more due to the person for whom we've had the service. What God's saying, what Jesus is saying, is that if you behave like that, to be seen in your acts of good work, then you've been rewarded in full. There's nothing coming, there's nothing else coming. There's nothing coming from God. You've had your reward. So, what about us then? So those are the risks of good deeds. How do we find ourselves in a place where actually we do good deeds? And we do good deeds from the right heart, from the right mind. And I'm just wondering whether actually, because of the way the passage is structured, there's a very big section on prayer right at the center, isn't there? Do you remember the reading? It talks about the Lord's Prayer and talks about it in depth. And I'm wondering if the answer to the question, how do we actually do good deeds with the right heart and the right mind, is to be found in this prayer. So, let's have a look at it. Do you remember Jesus was being warning against hypocrisy? And there's a little catch here to Jesus' teaching, because when he says, pray like this, there's a little caveat at the end. As if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. What Jesus is warning about, that even in prayer, we can be hypocritical. When we come to ask God for forgiveness for ourselves, but we're withholding forgiveness from someone else, are we not being like the Pharisee? And so Jesus is warning us that even in that personal place of prayer, we need to mind our hearts. We need to be aware of our hearts. That's the bad bit. The better bit is this. He says, look, when you pray, do it privately. And that echoes his teaching about giving. When you give, do it privately. When you fast, don't let people know. When you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. That's how we should pray. That's how we should give, do our good works, so that they're between us and God. No one else really needs to know that. But it's, again, an interesting expression. Go into your room. And the Greek word for that is tamion. And it describes a safe and secure storeroom within a building where people keep their treasures. A safe and secure storeroom where people keep their treasures. But I'm wondering, actually, if there's a little bit more to that phrase in Jesus' mind. He bids us to go and pray. He bids us to get on our knees before our Father, a Father who loves us and cares for us and is wanting to change us and make us more like his Son. So when we pray, when we go into that quiet place, that private place, we're going to a place of safety, a security. We're going before a loving God. And we're not going into that room to admire the treasures that we've stored up. We're going in there to receive from God treasures that he has for us. So in prayer, we can approach God, our Father, in complete safety and security, knowing that he has treasures for us to receive. And if we pray to him, we can also ask of him. In Luke's Gospel, there's a parallel section, or apparently parallel section, on the Lord's Prayer. And Luke expands it a little bit more. And he talks about some of the things we can do around prayer. He's talking about asking, seeking, finding. And so in prayer, we can ask God for things. Why don't we ask him to help us do good deeds in a way that would give him glory? And if we do that, I wonder if God would help us. Well, it seems so. Because if we ask, how much more will our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to us who ask him? Why is that important? That's important because the problem with the Pharisees was they had the wrong spirit. And we turn to Christ and we ask God for his Holy Spirit, we receive the right spirit, the Spirit of God. And if we receive the Spirit of God, then the motives of our heart and mind become right. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, giving, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, fasting. If we're filled with God's Spirit, even if we have a little bit of God's Spirit, then our actions begin to come from the right point, the right place. God enables us to do good deeds in a way which honors him and which meets the needs of the people around us. Surprisingly, God says there's a reward for this. Several times in those passages, he talks about a reward. It kind of feels slightly uncomfortable, doesn't it, that we should be rewarded for this. Surely it's just something we should do. But no, there is a reward. I wonder if that's treasures, a bank balance in heaven. Maybe it's Porsches for all, I don't know. I don't know what the lady equivalent of that is, but there must be one. But I don't think it's that sort of reward. And I think Jesus already told us at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount what that reward was. And he repeats it again in Luke. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. A reward is the kingdom of God. To be children of God, inheritors of his kingdom. And it's not a place where we're going to have treasures in terms of gold or silver or silks or precious stones. It's a place where we'll have righteousness and peace and joy. And isn't that quite a good reward?